after the incomparable number 74.
Yeah.
If we had been allowed to do true TV specials, not miniseries, which I think were legitimately included, John, I would have added Free to Be You and Me.
Ah, yeah. That's a classic. Yeah. I don't know if that ages well.
I think it does.
For children of the 70s, it does.
I wasn't even alive in any part of the 70s, but we listen to the songs and my kids like the songs. There's really, I feel like, only one song that really doesn't work, or it doesn't work the way that it should anymore, where it's a song about how William wants a doll, where his parents, voiced by Alan Alda, especially are telling the kid, not to be a jerk or a wimp or a sissy because the boy wants to play with the doll. And at the end of the song, they're saying, that the father was wrong. And in fact, the boy should be allowed to play with the doll. But it really, I think, my kids like anything that has music. They love Lori Berkner today, and They Might Be Giants kids music, and even to a degree, the Wiggles. But the songs in Free to Be You and Me have real people singing them. And my kids can notice, these are, real live grown up singing songs, and they get into that.
I had this record when I was a kid. Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw the television series. Oh. Or maybe I saw an episode of it here and there.
Well, it's a film, basically.
A one-time TV special. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a series. What's on the record is basically what's in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's exactly. It's right from the, you might as well just play the
Mel Brooks as a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
And Rosie Grier, who's, former football player and tells kids that it's all right to cry as he does a two-step shuffle.
Sad out of you.
Yeah. I should ask them, why did you play this? Because I wasn't even old enough to put on records myself and play them. So they must have been playing this for me over and over. Because these songs, I bet I could write the lyrics to them right now. And why? I don't,
You're bald, bald, bald. Bald is a ping pong ball. Almost totally bald.
Yeah, I guess that part I always found hilarious. So it was kind of like a comedy record. But yeah, is it possible to sort of be proselytizing to your children? I don't know.
I guess
that's what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah, I know, but it seems a little on the nose or heavy-handed to me, even with the humor angle.
Yeah. It was in the era of Sesame Street, right? This was the idea: is entertainment can be used for pro-social.
Yeah, Sesame Street seemed less offensive to me. It seemed less offensive, it was kind of
it had more time, right?
Teaching your ABCs, near, far, these are important concepts we need to establish. And they taught us how to count to 12. Whatever comes after 12, I don't care, because it doesn't involve an animated ping pong ball.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You got it.
I mean, you're right. But where I think that these songs can work are that, it's – and I don't know if – you guys don't really have kids quite as young as mine, I don't think, anymore. But, with Lori Berkner, for example, she sings songs about stuff that's going to happen during the day. She has songs about cleaning up a mess. So when you can sing her song about cleaning up a mess, it makes it a little bit easier. So, having It's All Right to Cry or Sisters and Brothers, it's like having those things to go to in those situations is what I find endearing about it.
Ah, I hear that.
And I think there are modern equivalents to a lot of these things. I see with my kids when they went off to daycare, they had equivalents of, the song about what you're going to do in the day and the song about being sad and crying.
And when Lex talks about Lori Berkner, what's funny is when we were kids, the emergence of Sesame Street led to a rethinking of how entertainment could reach children and messages that they could send and what could the social messages be. And, today there is an entire industry of this, and you can get there are whole TV channels filled with it, and CDs and DVDs. And so it's, I think there's much more of it out there, and it probably is harder to sift through, and I'm not sure whether kids have as much of a common experience. Whereas back in the day, like Sesame Street and Free to Be You and Me, there weren't that many options. So everybody saw them.
Higher quality too. Because there's so much, now that there's so much of it, there's just so much crap, right? And you have to communicate with the other parents to find the one or two, good things. Someone will turn you on to Philadelphia Chickens as the good, but stay away from Raffy, there's a whole, and that's still in the,
I would guess that there's more good stuff now than there was then.
There probably is, just hard to find.
But there's lots and lots of bad stuff too, yeah.
I kind of like Raffy.
Come now. You have not heard it enough.
Lex, you can host the Raffy episode.
I don't like him that much.
That's actually, speaking of the Raffy episode, I will insert this. This is perhaps my favorite Simpsons moment of all time of the 26 year run, and I don't know why this amuses me so, but it does. It's a sight gag. Raffi, it was the episode with Raffi, I believe, or the wannabe Raffi. I forget what his name was. I don't think it was the real thing. And the little tiny babies and toddlers are watching him sing, and they're about to mob him, and he's afraid he's going to be mobbed by little babies. So a helicopter comes down, of course, and picks up the Raffi stand-in musician, and the little babies leaped onto the little, what are they called? The little struts on the helicopter, the things skids. That it lands on, the skids on the helicopter, and they're hanging from them. The helicopter is taking off. And to get the babies off of the helicopter, Raffi whips out a giant lollipop and waves it in front of them like he's showing them a stop sign, shows it to each one of them. And as he shows the lollipop to the babies, they all let go of the skids to try to grab the lollipop and fall off the helicopter. That is my favorite Simpsons moment in the entire series. It happens in like 3.5 seconds. Whoever came up with that, I applaud you, sir or ma'am. Wow.
Roofy. It had a great name, too.
Wow. All right. So I think we've reached the end of our time.
Now that we're talking about toddlers falling from a helicopter to presumably
that's
to
a sign
deaths.
That it's time to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great when I talk and say random things and know that I'm just going to edit myself out.
Yeah.
You just keep talking and
it's freeing.
You should have edited in a section where we talk about how the people who said they would be on this podcast but didn't show up obviously don't love their children.
Well, that's for the part after the after the credits. Although the problem is that Serenity Caldwell and Monty Ashley don't have children
themselves.
No. Monty's probably 40.
I was talking about maturity.
And he does work at
that's right. Game company.
He plays Dungeons and Dragons all day. Right. What can you say?
When are you going to get a real job and stop playing those games?
I'm sure that's what his.
Do any of your parents still ask you this? By the way, my parents still occasionally ask me when I'm going to stop playing video games. I keep trying to go back to them with like, so did grandma and grandpa ever stop playing cribbage or whatever, pinochle? No, they never stopped. I'm going to be 89 years old playing video games. Just deal with it.
My mom asked me what a podcast was. So that was an awkward conversation. I said it's like a radio show, except nobody listens.
All my parents ask me is if Chris Breen remembers them. They met him on a geek cruise 100 years ago.
Oh,
they asked after him.
They were on a geek cruise. I had no idea.
They were.
Wow. I guess that was not one I was on, or I didn't speak to them on it.
you weren't as memorable.
What cruise was it, Lex?
You know, I had this conversation with him a while back, and I don't remember. I it might have been Mexico. I don't know.
I was on the Mexico one.
Let me look it up. I have it in my email somewhere.
That's depressing. Anyway, and then Dan Frakes actually said he wanted to make it and was aware that it was happening and has lost his voice.
Mexican Riviera, February 2006.
Yeah, I was on that one.
Obviously didn't make an impression on the Freedmans.
Clearly not. That was the one that I was on by myself. My wife refused to come.
They're just a bunch of geeks.
Yeah.
She said, but you are the perfect candidate. You've built up a tolerance all these years. Marriage.
I know.
You're immune.
She's been on all the other ones, just that one. She was like, I don't want Mexico. Nah. I don't want to do that one. So she didn't. All right. Well, that was great. And
I guess I'll stop recording now.
Sure. I'll just keep recording in case something funny happens, you know. All right. I'm going to go back out to my children and my parents and my wife and in the insanity of Arizona.
Explain to them where you've been for the past hour.
Yes, podcast
radio.
Radio.
We're talking about you.
Radio without the listeners.
All right.
Yes. No, I'm going to say I found out a bunch of great selections, suggestions
really
for new movies we
now.
Can watch. Yeah.
I'm really excited for the movies that Lex needs to see podcast, so sign me up for that.
No, so the premise, just to be clear on this, the premise, what's the name of it, Lex? Dan Morin came up with a name.
Oh, I don't know.
It's like Lex hasn't seen it or there's a good name. And the idea is that Lex provides a list of movies he hasn't seen, and then we
just look at it and go, "Oh my god!"
No, so we choose a movie, and then Lex sees the movie, and then we talk about the movie
with Lex here or not
with Lex. We debrief Lex. Lex is
so he's
going to
see the beloved movie and come and go, "Oh, I didn't think it was that great." And then we go, "No, no,
yeah." Every week,
I'll
Lex hasn't
Syracuse
seen it.
Rule.
Lex hasn't seen
me-
it.
You'll give me your
beloved movies,
Jason's favorite movies, and I'll tear them apart.
Or terrible movies, and either way,
movies you need to have seen.
Yes, because Lex hasn't seen.
You've seen Star Wars.
I have seen Real Genius multiple times.
Whew. Don't mention Real Genius. I'm actually in the room where we recorded the Real Genius podcast. Don't give me flashbacks. I was doing okay.
What was the crazy one that you haven't seen? Like, you haven't seen Indiana Jones? I forget what it was. Someone on the one.
I have not seen Indiana Jones. Oh,
that's the one. You're blowing my mind. I can't yeah. handle it.
I know.
Nor did Wix I ever see the second of the initial three Star Wars.
What?
I'm working on it.
That's not true. Come on. You've never seen The Empire Strikes Back.
I have never seen The Empire Strikes Back.
That's not true. No, just forget it. This podcast is over.
Yeah.
We'll have a great night, gentlemen.
But a new podcast will begin, the Lex Hasn't Seen It podcast. Can you imagine debriefing Lex? Actually, what would be better is just recording Lex's comments as he watches the movie, classic movies he's never seen.
Live commentary track recording.
Is snoring.
For the first time.
By a guy who's never seen the movie. Yeah, there's money to be made here, I'm telling you. All right. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good
night.
Thank you so much for showing up, because nobody else did.
Bye.
Bye.